So, with what took place over the last 24 hours, I'm struck with by the depth of the questions that come out. The question of why. Why does something like this happen? Why does something like this happen in our community? These kinds of tragedies happen far away, in distant places. They don't happen in our backyard. They don't happen to students who go to our schools. They don't happen to fathers in our community and to mothers in our city. And this morning, after I watched the press conference, I was sitting at my desk and I began to pray and I began to ask God, who are you in the midst of this? Where are you in this? And it was as if I could hear an audible voice where God says, remember. I'm like, remember what? And God began to reveal some things that I knew, but I had forgotten. God began to show me some things that I knew, but I had lost sight of because of the depth of the tragedy. And he said this, I am the God who in a garden was on my knees crying that this cup would be taken from me. It would be the Father's will. I am the God who hung on the cross. And in the midst of the throes of death, cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And God said, I'm a God who's really comfortable and okay with your questions. I am okay with your anger. I am okay with your sadness, with your grief, with your frustration. Because I know there is no easy answer. And I think when we try to give an easy answer in the midst of tragedy, we do a really huge disservice. There are no easy answers. There is no way to explain to a mom or to a dad why their child was shot. There is absolutely no way to explain rationally why somebody needed to witness such a horrific slaying. And God doesn't expect us to give easy answers. God expects us to ask deep and hard questions. And to allow those questions to be there long enough for God to begin to fill that space with only an answer that He can give. Because any answer we give will seem really trite. There is no way to come alongside of a family in the midst of grief like this and say it's going to be okay. They won't hear that. Not right now. And so what does God say? I was also reminded of this incredible passage in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, where Jesus reminds us that we live in a world where there is going to be tragedy. That we live in a world that is broken and there's going to be hardship, where there are going to be things that happen that don't make sense, and that they hurt us deeply. They hurt families, they hurt individuals, and they hurt communities deeply. And while Jesus was teaching, he says this. He said, the thief comes, and he's talking about and using this reference about a shepherd and having his sheep kept safe inside the fence. And he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus is saying, bad things will happen. Bad things do happen. And something horrible has happened. The world that we live in is at once both beautiful and terrifying. And the people made in the very image of God are both exquisite and capable of such evil at the same time. But then Jesus says this, I have come to bring life so that you might have life to the full. Jesus said that he came to bring life, that we might have life to the full. And what in the world does that mean in light of what happened last night? What does it mean? How do we make sense out of a promise like that, that Jesus gives and in the midst of death? I think it means this. I think it means that each and every one of us in this room knows that there is hardship that we face. None of us has ever, you know, we have not escaped the difficulties of life. And some of us know that tragedy closer than others. And in the midst of that, Jesus offers us this promise that he says that I have come to bring you life, that you might have life to the full. It doesn't mean that Jesus is going to take away all of the hardships of this life. But there is this promise that Jesus is making that he is going to be with us in the midst of it. That he is going to show up at a traffic stop, at an arrest, that he is going to show up and he is going to be there in our midst, walking along with us through the tragedy. The hardship doesn't go away. The crime doesn't disappear. But we do know is that Jesus offered himself, dying on the cross, so that we might have life and have it in abundance. Every one of us in this room, eventually our lives end. It could be a car accident, it can be old age, it might be cancer, it can be a tragedy such as what has happened. But the promise of God is this, that whoever believes in the name of Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life is available to every single one of us if we choose to receive it. And the interesting thing is this, there's no magic words to receive it. It is a transaction that takes place between you and Jesus. But he offers himself to us in this time and in this place with a promise to walk with us closely in the midst of it. This Jesus is not a foreigner to suffering. He has suffered. And he has risen. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can be a people of hope. And we can live as a people of hope. But in order to live as a people of hope, we need to receive that hope from the God who loves us so much. I don't know most of you in this room. I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know if some of you knew some of the victims or some of the victims' families. But what I do know is this, that this Jesus loves you. And wherever you are at, regardless of what you might be struggling with or not struggling with, he will walk with you through this. If you will allow him to. Tonight we want to give you an opportunity. I want to say that differently. I don't want you to go home if there's something that is pressing on your heart. What I do know, one of the things that I know is this, when something like this happens, it stirs up a lot of stuff in all of us. I had a friend who sent me a text message, "Are you guys safe? Did you stay inside?" Right? And something like this happens and it wells up some fear within us, a fear to live the way that God has called us to live. And so maybe you have some fear. Or maybe you want to get to know this Jesus. Maybe something else has been stirred up in you and you want somebody to pray with you. There are some incredibly amazing folks in this room and they've got a lanyard on and in the front of it says, "I will pray with you." They're going to move to the outside edges of this room and they are going to just be available to pray with you for a period of time when we are done here. Please don't go home. Please don't go home if you need to pray with somebody. I do know most of these wonderful people right over here, and I know that they would love to pray with you as well. But don't go home until you've spent some time with God dealing with the things that are stirred up in you because of what has happened. Our God is a God of hope. The resurrection gives us hope. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the authority to live with that hope in this world today. And that is good news. It isn't trite news. It doesn't immediately erase grief. But it is good news. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to close our time with a song. And during that time of singing, if you would like prayer, go ahead and move to one of the outer areas and find somebody with a lanyard to pray with you. But will you join me in a time of prayer right now? Lord, our hearts break like your heart breaks. Because, Lord, we know that when you look down and when you were even in the midst of what was taking place, that your heart is broken because of sin. And because of the pain that sin brings, Lord, we know that that is the very reason you sent the Son. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you are a God who does not leave us alone. You are not far away. You are not distant, but you are here and you are with us and you love us profoundly. And that we can find hope in you. Lord, we do pray for the families of the victims. Lord, we pray for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your presence. Lord, for those who observed what took place, Lord, we ask that you would come alongside of them, that you would give them courage, that you would love them. And Lord, for each one of us in this room, Lord, I know that in a gathering like this, that not all of us know who you are. Draw us close to you. Lord, I pray that we, the Church of Kalamazoo, Lord, that we would partner deeply with our city and with our government, that we would walk in unity for the betterment of our city, that it might prosper the way that you have called us to partner together. Lord, I pray that you would shine a light upon our community, that you, Lord God, would do a work in our community that brings healing into those broken places. And that Kalamazoo would be a light in our nation. And Lord, I pray that you would give each of us in this room the courage to live the full life that you came to give us. And that we would live that full life in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all of this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.